Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Dr. Meg Meeker. You may have read one of her many books. You may have seen her on one of her many media appearances on television, or you may have just watched on PureFlix the movie Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And so, Meg, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Now, how did you decide to partner with PureFlix? This is a best-selling book you've got, and
yes.
They turned it into a movie, didn't they?
They did. And I'll tell you the truth, when an author hears that somebody wants to make a movie out of their book, you're a little gun shy. But PureFlix has done a beautiful job. A number of years ago, I met David A.R. White, and he was such a good guy, and he got what I was trying to communicate in my message. So I think that's what really convinced me is, you know, he gets it. He agrees with my mission. We're on the same page, so I can trust him to do this. So, and I think they did it because they saw that when my Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters book came out, it hit a nerve in men, and they said, "I feel transformed. No one ever told me this." And so I felt very encouraged because I showed dads, A, you're extremely important and nobody tells you that. And B, here's what you look like through your daughter's eyes. And I was thrilled that that was able to come across in the book and now in the movie.
Praise God. Well, you're a medical doctor. You are in a practice with your husband, and you've been viewed by many as an expert in a lot of fields related to mental health and parenting and helping folks deal with trauma and just all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the message of this particular book and now of the movie is one that, as you said, a lot of dads are not getting the message that they are important and that they're important to their daughters.
Yeah. They're getting the exact opposite message. They're maligned and they're marginalized. You know, take any movie that comes out this year on Netflix and it has a father in it. I will guarantee you that father will be stupid or he will be inept, or he'll be just sort of somebody in the background.
Yep.
And that's not okay, because what I see personally in my practice in the kids who have dads involved, particularly girls involved in their lives, those kids soar. They do great. And then when I saw this happening, you know, the marginalization and the maligning of fathers, and yet what I was seeing in the research shows is how important were dads. I said, why doesn't anybody say anything? So then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, go. And so I think that you're absolutely right. I think not only are dads just sort of being treated neutrally, they're really being hammered. And I think enough is enough.
Well, praise God. I obviously work with kids whose families are in trouble. We work with kids, many of whom have been abused horribly, and some of the characters in the movie are not treated so much as inept. Sometimes they're malevolent characters, very villainous abusers, that kind of thing. And sadly, that is, in fact, reality for a lot of kids. But there's not somebody saying, hey, let us show how it's supposed to be. Let us show you how it can be. And I'm so grateful as the father of seven, that four of those kids, we were the do-over family. We got to come along with our four kids that we adopted and show them a different way that parenting could happen, different way that family life could occur, even a different way that siblings could relate to one another. Yeah. And, you know, God in his mercy works with people like us who are imperfect and yet shows us how to point people to his perfect love, because he is the ultimate father and his love and his parenting is perfect. So I'm very, very grateful to you for pointing people toward the truth and offering hope. So talk with us a little bit about some of the challenges that the father in the movie and that fathers in real life today are facing when they are trying to raise their children, and especially because we're talking about strong fathers, strong daughters, the challenges that fathers face when they're trying to raise their daughters right now.
I think the first challenge, and fathers might not think about it, is they feel intimidated by a daughter because they think, I don't know how she thinks. I don't know why she says these things. I don't know what she wants. She talks way too much. And so they really don't know how to handle it. And I try to get fathers over that hump to say, it doesn't matter. You are two different people. You do think differently. You do wonder different things, but that's okay. You don't need to change that. And then to help fathers understand, it's most important with your kids to develop their character and their faith. Those are the deep things. Those are the core of your daughter, your son. But what's happening in our culture is all the external is being focused on and developed. Sports, how they look, you know, what they do. And it's often the ugly stuff that's presented through the media. So what I encourage parents, particularly dads, to do is just get the big things right, you know, that God would do. Show attention to your kids. Just don't walk around the house looking at your phone all the time. Give your kids some affection. I mean, Jesus, I can't imagine anybody more affectionate. Can you imagine being hugged by Jesus? I mean, and then some affirmation, not affirmation of their appearance, affirmation of their character, their patience, their courage, their faithfulness, their perseverance. And I think if you really just focus on those things, and any father can do that with his son or his daughter, they're going to have the resilience to be able to overcome a lot of the awful garbage coming at them through, you know, television and movies and the phone and that kind of a thing.
How important is honesty in the relationship? How important is it that parents are scrupulous about telling the truth when they're talking with their children?
Yeah, it really is the bedrock of a relationship. If you don't have an honest relationship, how can you have a relationship? Because if you're a truthful person and you're relating to somebody that doesn't tell the truth, you know, what is the relationship? So it's critically important that parents are honest. But I do tell parents, don't overspeak to your kids. For instance, I've had parents of 5 and 8-year-olds come forward and say, you know, kids are being shot in schools. I need to tell my child because that's reality. I said, no. Your job is to protect those kids. That's terrifying to a child. So you're honest and you're always if a child asks you, you tell them. But just be very, very careful about how much you say. Be honest and truthful in everything you say, but you don't have to share everything with your kids.
And I totally agree. And I think it's important also to understand what kids are asking. I use the illustration from time to time that I heard years ago of the child who, you know, came and said, you know, where did I come from? Mm-hmm. And the parent thought, oh, well, boy, this is a little early for that talk, but here goes. Yeah. And they dove in and shared everything about reproduction and so forth. And the child, you know, sits there and endures it and then says, okay, well, Tommy was from Ohio.
Exactly. So exactly.
We need to sometimes when they ask questions, we need to follow up with the question to clarify.
Exactly.
What exactly are you asking, honey?
Right. Where are you coming from? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Don't overspeak, you know, and parents now feel they need to be honest and they need to tell their kids everything so that the kids understand. Well, there's a lot kids can't understand until they're older. And particularly when it comes to the, you know, sexuality, that's a beautiful illustration though.
Well, I love it because having raised seven kids, I know that each one is different. Mm-hmm. And we had one of our little preschoolers who asked me one evening about where babies come from. And I dialogued a little bit, try and find, and he knew exactly what he was asking. And so I went ahead and shared because our view was the child is ready when the child is ready. Yeah, and
exactly.
So I shared, and he would follow up with other questions. Mm-hmm. Very intelligent, very inquisitive, and one of the most curious people on the planet. He has learned, he's now the executive director of the ranch that my wife and I started.
That's awesome.
He went on, I told him when he was a kid, son, I don't know that you're supposed to become a lawyer, but you definitely need to go to law school. And he did. And he became a lawyer. And now he's using it in ministry. But, you know, he asked everything and got all the answers.
That's exactly right. You need to learn to read your kids. And just because they ask you one question, you say, well, where do you think they come from? And then your child says, Ohio or whatever.
Yes.
Or no, I know that God created them and I know they're in mom's tummy. How'd they get in mom's tummy?
Right.
Then the conversation progresses, but you're absolutely right. We just need to sort of watch and wait because if the kids want to know something, they'll let us know it.
Yes. And especially if we show that we're willing to answer regarding that particular subject. I remember vividly to this day, I had great parents for the most part, godly people, loved each other, loved their kids, loved their neighbor. I mean, wonderful folks. Mm-hmm. And they lived the gospel. They were wonderful. Mm-hmm. But my mom was hanging up laundry in the backyard. I was 7 years old. And I said, Mom, what's the difference between a boy dog and a girl dog? Mm-hmm. And the reason I asked that question was because our next door neighbor's dog had puppies, and the neighbors who were younger than I was could look at the puppies and tell if it was a boy or girl.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to do that.
You didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I said, how do you tell, you know, the difference between a boy dog and a girl dog? And my mom said, well, you know, and
you
I,
know.
Said,
yeah.
I said, no,
I don't
man,
know.
I don't.
Yeah.
And she said, yes, you do. And I said, no, ma'am, I don't. And she said, yes, you do. Mm. And kept hanging up clothes. And I thought, okay, I guess I do. I just have to figure it out. I
was, you know, on my own.
Now, the thing is, if parents are not comfortable themselves with the truth, not just regarding sex, but regarding life and death, finding security. You mentioned the violence in our society and the fact that kids are not ready to process this. What kids are ready to process is that there is a God who has all power and he loves you. And he has an angelic force that he has assigned to work on your behalf. And you need to know whatever situation you get into, God is in control. And you, if you are trusting in him, will be safe. Doesn't mean painful things can't happen. Doesn't mean bad things can't happen. Doesn't mean bad people can't do bad things. It does mean that no matter what anybody does and no matter what happens, nothing can separate God's children from his love. That even little kids are comfortable.
They get it. I think that kids understand that more readily and more easily and more clearly than adults do.
Yes.
Because in my experience, you know, I've been at this for over 30 years. I've had young kids tell me about angels and that an angel was in the kitchen and their mother goes, shh, don't talk like that. And I said, no, please let her talk.
Exactly.
And that's happened over and over. And so they're very clear and they're very open and they just very accepting. And yet their parents with all their baggage will say, you know, no, no, no. So I agree. I find kids delightfully open and honest and receptive to spiritual messages, to God, to Christ. They get it.
Yes. And we need to encourage that, not stifle it.
Yes.
How important, again, would you say that a father's relationship is? I mean, both parents are important, but we have an epidemic of fatherlessness.
Yeah.
How important is a father's relationship with his daughter and why?
Well, it's extremely important because, you know, when you think about every aspect of her life, her emotional health, psychological health, intellectual health, physical health, is much, much better if dad is in the home. Mm-hmm. She's much more likely to graduate high school, go on to college, less likely to have depression, anxiety, less likely to use drugs, less likely to be poor, you know, it goes on and on. And those things have been shown through research over and over. And it's really indisputable. Interestingly enough, you were talking about sex. Girls who have a father in the home start their menstrual cycles later than girls whose fathers aren't in the home. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, how can you explain that except that really a daughter is younger longer than if her dad's around, than if her dad isn't around? And I really believe that fatherlessness to me is the number one problem in our country, because if we had fathers engaged, violence would go down, drug use would go down, you know, so many different depression, anxiety, everything. And that, you know, the father's presence in the home really affects everything that goes on in our lives.
Absolutely. One of the things that my wife and I have emphasized for years when we do parenting conferences and that sort of thing is that you are working as a parent to work yourself out of a job. You know, my aim, much as we want to have an attachment that endures, that actually is not weakened by pointing them to the Lord.
No.
But it's strengthened because you have a basis then for a mature relationship that isn't going to be in this constant tension of the child needing to break away.
Right.
They shouldn't have to break away. You ought to be launching them. One of the things my parents did right was when we were little, we got tricycles. And when we were a little older, we got bicycles. And we were a little older, we got learner's permits. And then we learned to drive and had a car with a license. And, you know, when we had a car, and my parents didn't have money, but I received the 1963 Chevy Bel Air that had over 100,000 miles on it, back in an era when 100,000 miles was your car was done. And the one I got had been literally totaled and rebuilt twice, thanks to my older brother, who was 6 years older than I was.
Oh, that's pretty
good. And so, but I got that car, and by golly, that was my ticket to go and explore the world. And when we were 18, we got luggage.
Oh, my. There you go.
The idea was you are always welcome to come back and visit. You know, we hope while you're off having your adventures that you'll remember we love you, we're praying for you, and we look forward to your next visit. But the idea was we grew up with the understanding that this is not the Ponderosa. And we're, you know, dad is not going to be overseeing a bunch of unmarried men who are, you know, still needing him to come and get him out of jail.
Right.
If you watched Bonanza, that was kind of the beautiful American family. There are a lot of folks who've never seen what it looks like to launch their kids. The Bible talks about having a quiver full of what, though? Not of baggage, of arrows.
Arrows.
You take them, you launch them. And so as dads, whether we're talking about our daughter or whether we're talking about our son, we ought to be prayerfully encouraging them to trust in their heavenly Father. So that's what parents aim for if they're doing it God's way.
Right.
But a lot of folks are not.
And I think that if parents have difficulty trusting God and trusting Christ, they're going to communicate to their kids that the kids need to trust them and they need their kids around.
Yes.
And so the focus becomes on the parent-child relationship, not the parent-child, child-God, parent-God. It's just, it just goes one way. And that's very unhealthy because those are the kids that can't go away because there's this sort of need going back and forth. It really is quite unhealthy. And I see that quite a lot.
Does the term codependency fit into that equation?
Well, I was going to say that, but I thought, well,
But you're exactly right. And that's what we've seen over and over in some of the most dysfunctional situations, which are simply exacerbated by that codependency, by, you know, the child feeling like, you know, I can't go out and do well. I need to stay here. I need to.
Well, or my parent needs me here.
Yes. Absolutely.
Particularly single mothers without a dad, their sons will think, my mom needs me, so I can't go away. And that's very unhealthy. And a strong mother would say, I don't need you. You know, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You need to go. And it's very hard, but it's extremely important.
Yeah. And again, that's where bringing God into the equation makes all the difference. Because if that mom is able to say, honey, I'm going to be fine. God will take care of me. And say that with conviction because they know it's true. You know, I'm not sure what the circumstances are going to be, but I'm going to be okay because God will look after me. He's promised and he's done it before and he'll do it again. And then that gives that child, again, launching the child realizes, okay, she's depending on God. I can depend on God.
Right.
It makes all the difference.
Sure does.
When you came up with the title, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, it it echoed kind of another title from another book that you'd done. Talk with us for a moment about that, if you would.
Oh, the Strong Mother, Strong Sons? Is that what you're...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I really feel that a parent's job, just like you were saying, is to model strength, on all fronts, to model a strong faith, to model a strong attitude and growth, and you know, and then to teach that to particularly fathers to daughters and mothers to sons, to say, come my way, just like Paul said, walk in my footsteps and you'll be strong too. And I really think that it definitely does work. Again, I'm not saying you have to be a perfect parent or you had to just be a good enough parent, and that's where your strength can come through. Just like what you're talking about, if a mother can come to her son and say, I'm really okay, that's a strong mother. You know, a weak mother would go, I just don't know. I think I kind of need your help. I think you need to stick around, even though you're 30. And that's not that uncommon, but a strong parent wouldn't do that. And the only way you can create a strong child is to model strength. And I think that's exactly what our Father in Christ do for us. They give us this picture of who we can emulate and what we can be like. I mean, we can never be them, but we can do our best to walk towards their strength and absorb some of that strength. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's one thing we can give our kids is to impart strength to them.
Amen. And that it's not a false bravado.
No.
It is finding our strength in him. Because, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
It is.
And when you run to it, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're trusting in him, mm-hmm. then you are safe no matter what mm-hmm. comes. And if you're not trusting in him, no matter how successful and strong you think you are, you are just steps away from disaster.
Yes,
but if
you are.
If you trust in the Lord, oh, what comfort, yeah. what peace, what security. And we can have that for our kids. Now, I want us also, before we close, just to recognize that these are scary times for people of all ages. There's, you know, spiritual warfare that's very intense. There's all kinds of lies out there in the culture, and kids are bombarded with stuff. And sometimes people who love Jesus are utterly baffled by what's happening with their children. I have friends with children who have mental health issues that are extremely serious. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, what do I say? Mm-hmm. And my encouragement to them has been along the lines that you discuss. And that is, you find what you can to affirm. Mm-hmm. And you don't lie to them.
No.
You don't approve of sin. You don't, you know, say it doesn't matter. But if your child knows that you accept them as a person, mm-hmm. even if you don't accept behaviors that are destructive, dishonest, harmful, mm-hmm. but you accept them still as a person, you care about them, you're not writing them off. Mm-hmm. You're not saying, I don't ever want to see you again. You're saying, oh, how I long to see you mm-hmm. walking in the ways of the Lord mm-hmm. because I love you. Mm-hmm. I've seen that used by God to bring healing to both parent and child. And I think that if folks understand what you've laid out in terms of the importance of fathers and the importance of mothers mm-hmm. and the fact that the future for our kids can be bright, mm-hmm. even in a world that is very, very dark. Oh. We have the opportunity, if we keep pointing them to the only one who can change their hearts, the only one who can heal their hurts. Kids who've been molested, kids who've been abused, can still find that there's a balm in Gilead.
There is. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, thank you, Dr. Meeker, for pointing people to the one who makes all the difference. May God bless you in your work. And I hope that this movie, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, is going to cause a lot of people to want to go back and say, I want to read the whole book.
Yeah.
It was a good movie, yeah. but that just whetted my appetite.
Yeah.
I want the
yeah.
book too.
Yeah.
So thank you, Dr. Meeker. And thank you for coming and sharing with us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.